so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
Welcome back to the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Fort Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
And we welcome all of you into the 3 o'clock hour. It's going to be a busy one. In about 30 seconds, we'll meet up with new Vanderbilt Athletic Director Candace Lee, who had the interim tag removed late last week. You know this has been a crazy 3 or 4 days in her life, and we'll get into that in just a moment. Also want to tell you at 3:30, we will join NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. He will have some sort of a press briefing to tell us the format of how they intend to return when they do. This is not going to be a here's the date the playoffs will start, but it will be apparently some sort of a deal to tell us how all of this would play out if and when they can get an agreement done. Let's go back to what we were getting into and say hello to the new Vanderbilt Athletic Director. Candace Lee is on the line with us. Candace, congratulations.
Thank you, George. I really appreciate it.
Tell me, what have the last 3 or 4 days been like?
Oh, it's been wonderful to hear from so many people who have been very gracious with their support and their well wishes from, you know, part of our community with fans and former student athletes, current student athletes, other colleagues around the country. It's been wonderful. I'm very appreciative of the support.
Has it hit you yet, the role you may play if things end up being successful for you in this job, what this might do for other minorities down the road?
Yeah, I think that I understand the responsibility that comes with the opportunity, because I know that the work and the sacrifices of people before me has allowed me to have this opportunity. So, you know, I hope in turn it creates opportunities for other people. So that's certainly on my mind. I think first and foremost, I am determined to do a great job, because I know that's what our coaches and our student athletes and staff and our fan base deserves. So I'm focused on that, but I do understand the responsibility.
I almost hesitate to ask this first 100 days thing that you hear a lot of times. What do you hope to accomplish in the first 100 days? Because, you know, we're in a deal where nobody can tell where this whole virus thing is going. But in a perfect world, what would you like to get done in these first 3+ months?
Well, I think, you know, it's a fair question, and you're right that you know, my short-term focus has been preoccupied with how we respond to COVID and the health and safety of our student athletes and our community. So, you know, that continues to be a priority. But I think that it is important to say that while we've been spending just about all of our time on that, I am very committed in terms of how do we move this forward. You know, I think there was momentum coming into sort of pre-COVID momentum around what we're going to do to improve our student-athlete experience. We know that involves a lot of grassroots efforts, but certainly facilities is a big thing, improving on the fundraising front. And we've got a great cadre of supporters, but just expanding our reach has been my focus. And again, the COVID thing it's a pandemic, and it's understandably taking up all the attention. But I'm looking forward to continuing to navigate those waters, but building bridges and doing everything I can to make sure that our student athletes and our coaches have the best opportunity to compete.
Candace, on the fan base side, there's a skepticism, not necessarily of you, but of once you try to get things done, will the university let it happen? Talk to the fan base about why you feel like you'll be able to get some things to happen that maybe some others before you haven't.
You know, George, I understand that because I understand that there's a narrative out there, and I would never disregard what people's experiences or their interpretations or perceptions have been in the past. You know, I won't disregard that, and I sort of respect that for what it is. But I can tell you that for me, when I look at Vanderbilt and I look at our current administration, I look at everything that's been said to me about walking hand in hand and moving this thing forward, I feel confident that we're going to do things that we've never done. And I won't pretend to, you know, I can't speak to what was it like a year ago in the seat or 2 years ago in the seat, because I wasn't in the seat. You know, it's a different vantage point, and no matter how much you may observe, until you sit in the chair, you don't know. And I won't speak to what I don't know. But what I can tell you is what I know, what I feel comfortable saying, is that I have the full confidence that we are going to do things that we've never been able to do with perhaps support that was not there before. I can't speak to that, but I know I feel full support now. And, you know, in terms of the skepticism, I think that's a fair comment. And the way that you undo it is by consistent action. So, you know, notwithstanding our current focus on the pandemic, I look forward to chipping away and changing that narrative.
Watson, say hello to Vanderbilt Athletic Director Candace Lee.
Candace, congratulations. Proud for you.
Thank you, Watson. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
My first question, and I'm going to then get into the little bit of the pandemic. I know that when I was there as a offensive coordinator, then the head coach, Candace, the really was hard for me not to magnify everything and just wanting it so bad. The wins just were fantastic. The losses were absolute killers. Mm-hmm. And I look back on it, and I didn't handle that well because the school meant so much to me, being an alum and being there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to deal with the same thing. Talk a little bit about that to me.
Oh, I think that's a great question, because I think what you're getting at is that it's sort of deeply personal, right? Yep. The connection is a real one that runs deep. And having been an alum and having been a part of the athletics department for a number of years, it does hit you in a different way. I think for me, I think the gravity of the responsibility is such that I know I'm gonna have to manage my emotions around it. It's very fair what you said, but I use it as a driver. You know, I use it as a driver to just know that I'm having the opportunity to support me from 20 years ago, right? So having been a student athlete and been in those shoes, the chance to support someone like me and knowing what an impact that can be and just taking such great pride in the school, it feels like some positive pressure, and that I want to use it to motivate me as we move things forward and make decisions. But I think what you bring up is just this understanding that it runs very, very deep. But I think to do this work well, it needs to run deep, and it needs to feel personal. And we talk about these jobs all the time. Like, you know, they're not just jobs. They're true lifestyles. They're family commitments. You know, I mean, my husband is all in. My son is all in. It's deeply personal. But I think that that would be the only way that I could do my work anyway. That's the only way I've ever done it. And so, you know, got to be all in. But fair point that you're making about needing to manage it and handle it well.
Well, just watch yourself and don't let it get you down, meaning as far as wearing you down, because...
Yes, I appreciate that very much, and I hear you loud and clear on that. I appreciate that.
And a couple of quick things on football here. When are you bringing your football players in? Are you bringing them in part at a time, all at once? Talk a little bit about that real quick.
Sure. So, I mean, I know you're aware that the SEC has said that starting June 8th,
schools can begin voluntary workouts. So one of the positive things about all of this is just, you know, we're all dealing with this pandemic and there's no playbook for this. And it's been a really useful opportunity to collaborate with other athletic directors and other peers across the conference. And so we're picking each other's brains and relying on one another as we navigate this. And so with that, you know, we're all planning these phased approaches. You know, these are unprecedented circumstances, so we know we can't flip a switch and just go from 0 to 100 and be back to normal, right, whatever normal is. And so it will be a phased approach. We're looking forward to, you know, ideally we're going to start bringing student athletes in the next couple weeks, but, you know, this is a little bit of trial and error, and you know, the biggest thing is, You have to take a step in order to try to resume, but you don't want to go too fast to ensure that you've just done everything possible to protect these student athletes and those who are connected with this program. And so I think the conference has done a great job in guiding us, and we've got some just lots of wonderful experts around the table at Vanderbilt and with the medical center, and we're using that expertise to plan. And one of the toughest things about this is that what you knew last Monday could change, right? Like from Monday to Monday, you get new data, new information. You know, we were laughing about this morning in a meeting that you look back on your notes from 2 weeks ago, and in some ways they feel obsolete because things are changing so much. So just have to stay committed to being flexible, but I feel like we're headed in the right direction.
And my second quick question, let Terry have you. What concerns me, Candace, the most is testing.
Mm-hmm.
And how often we're going to be able to test these athletes, because they're going to, you can't separate them for so long. I mean, they've got to start playing against each other, hitting each other, whatever, if we're going to play. What's going to happen in your mind if an athlete tests positive? Or let's say two or three athletes all of a sudden in week four test positive. There's got to be a thought process when that happens. What is the Vanderbilt thought process with that right now?
Well, you know, I think in fairness, everybody kind of right now probably has a similar thought process in that there's CDC guidelines and there's, you know, public health expertise around what you do when an individual tests positive. I think from a philosophical standpoint, a really important thing for us, and we've been talking about this a lot, is that it's really hard to see all the way around the corner because things are changing. And so right now, it's like you take the guidance that you have. If there's a positive test, you know, there's some agreed upon things that you do relative to quarantine or isolating. But, and I'm not a public health expert, so I know to stay in my lane on this, but you're bringing up an important point that when you think about today, May 26th, and you fast forward to September or October, there's a lot of work that needs to be done between, you know, now and then. And the NCAA, I listened to Dr. Hainline, who's the chief medical officer with the NCAA, talk about some additional guidance that may be coming around testing protocols as you think about entering into a season. So right now, you know, I'm sort of cautioning everybody we got to think in chunks. And so this first chunk is, how do you as an institution get ready for summer workouts? And then more information will come, and then we'll kind of take another step. You know, our idea is to move in stages. And I think that's everyone's idea, because you bring up a really important question on how that's going to be handled. And again, not a medical professional, but I know there's a lot of people smarter than me that are trying to figure out how we're going to handle that.
Terry, got time for a couple of questions, and then I know Candace has got to be out of here before 3:30, and we want to respect that. So, Terry, go right ahead.
Well, Candace, I've got, you know, one question basically for you. I just want to know, with all that's going on with the pandemic and all, and I know you've got two or three coaches there that, and Coach Mason and Coach Stackhouse and Coach White and all that, you know, are all in, I guess, transitional phases and trying to get their programs back on track and getting them to winning again. How difficult is it to evaluate their performance and what they can do on the court given the trying circumstances that they're facing off the court, just trying to get back playing?
Yeah, that's a fair question. I mean, I think we would be naive to say that that there aren't some impacts from the pandemic on how we go about our day-to-day business, including how we may, you know, how I may end up evaluating coaches. I would just say that that's something to pay attention to, and some of it too will just depend on exactly how much our world ends up changing because of COVID, right? So, you know, right now it's like, I think I was on call yesterday and we talked about looking at this thing in 4-week increments. Right now it's like nobody can recruit. You can't have, you know, required athletic activity. You can't do any activity right now. So we have to understand that the world is changing quite a bit. And so does that have to be taken into consideration with evaluation down the line? I'm certain that there are impacts of that. I can't answer for you right now because I don't know how much the world changes between now and, you know, football season, basketball season, whatever. I don't know. I will tell you that really like how our coaches have responded. I think I couldn't be more pleased with how everyone is taking care of their student athletes and staying focused on being prepared to compete. You know, because we all still want the same thing, right? First and foremost, we want student athletes to be safe, and then we want to compete and we want to win. And so that has not changed. But very fair question that you're asking, and I think I just have to put a pin in it right now because I just don't know enough to say with certainty.
Amen. Absolutely right. Candace, thank you for taking the time to come on with us. Look forward to doing this again down the road, and thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you so much, George. And I just, you know, as an alum, I want to tell you that, like, that's you're part of a particularly important group to me, of part of this Commodore Nation that I feel indebted to and want to feel connected to what we're doing. So I really appreciate you. I appreciate all of your help. You've already been just very helpful to me in this short time. So I just want to say thank you and look forward to talking more.
Thank you. Look forward to having you on again in the future.
Okay, thank you. Y'all stay safe. Thanks so much.
Same on your end. That's new Vanderbilt Athletic Director Candace Lee. I know we're going to get right to the break. More of the show when we come back.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve, it's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her, and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The Braves Radio Network is right there with you. We miss baseball. So we're bringing you Braves replays every weekend at noon Central. It's Braves Extra Innings. We're re-airing games from the 2019 season every weekend until baseball returns.
This one is hammered. A rocket high into the heavens and deep to left field and gone.
Catch the Atlanta Braves Extra Innings on Nashville's home for Atlanta Braves baseball, Nashville Sports Radio.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. Nope, it's George Plaster on the radio. The George Plaster Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
324, and what you're about to hear may be the quickest segment in the history of this show. I don't know exactly what's going to go on around 3:30, but I felt like, given that we are an NHL city with the Predators, that it was important that we carry whatever it is Gary Bettman is going to say. I don't believe you're going to get anything that says, here's the date that we will begin all this. I don't think it's going to go there, and I don't think the NHL and the Players Association are totally at that point. But I do think he's going to nail down some things on, here's how the playoff format will work. We expect him to go with the 24-team route, which seems now to be, seems like it's a given, and it will allow teams like the Blackhawks and Montreal to have a chance where they were going to have no chance before that. If we have read the tea leaves right, it looks like the Predators' first-round opponent in the playoffs would be Arizona. The Preds as a 6 seed, the Arizona as an 11 in a best-of-5 series. Watson, I'll bring you up real quickly. I want to hear what Bettman's going to say, and I know you guys do too.
Absolutely. I'm excited about it, tell you the truth. I'm ready to see some hockey, man. That's quicker the better for me.
Amen. So why don't we do this? Again, I have no idea how this is going to work out. If it ends up being a waste of time, blame it on me. If it turns out great, I'll figure out a way to take a bow. But what we're going to do is go to this break early so we can give you a good chunk of whatever it is Gary Bettman's going to say. So we'll hear from Commissioner Bettman when we come back. You're listening to WNSR.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on Demumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of its kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French-pressed coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
Through this difficult and challenging time, Brinkman's Wine and Spirits remains committed to serving you. Whether it's curbside, inside, or homeside with delivery, Brinkman's is still available for all your wine and spirits needs. You can stop by and have your order brought to your car, or you can still come in and browse. Also, for orders of $50 or more, they will deliver to your home as well. Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's remains dedicated to making you feel welcomed and appreciated with their passion for personal service. Whether picking up a bottle of wine for dinner or celebrating a special occasion, or even looking for help to restock your bar at home, they're there for all your needs, from whiskey to vodka, champagne to cabernets. Don't forget to like their Facebook page at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays by appointment. Located at the Brentwood House Shopping Plaza at 127 Franklin Road by Baskin Robbins and Honey Baked Ham. Inside, curbside, homeside. Shop local, shop Brinkman's.
COVID-19 is testing all of us, our communities, our economy, and our way of life. You can help Tennessee win this fight to protect you and your loved ones. Free COVID-19 testing is available at your local county health department, even if you don't have symptoms. When in doubt, get a test. To find a testing facility, please visit tn.gov/get a test. Brought to you by the State of Tennessee, Tennessee Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Connard Transportation was founded in 2005, and they want you to know they've kept their doors open through this challenging period. They have the latest technology and equipment to ensure accurate tracking and monitoring of your shipments. So give them a holler at 800-548-8672 or go online at trucking@connardtransportation.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast for this afternoon. A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a high near 85. Tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms again, mostly cloudy, with a low around 68. And tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely again, mostly cloudy, with a high near 82. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
The George Plaster Show, serving up the best sports coverage in Middle Tennessee from Nashville Sports Radio.
So 3:31 is the time. I'm going to get some sort of a cue from Zach back at the station when it looks like they're really ready to go. And then you will hear NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman laying out the plan for the return, whenever that may be the case. Zach, does it look like they've gotten going yet?
I'm not seeing anything yet. I'll jump back in, though, and let you boys know when they do.
Okay. Terry, you know, I don't know if this gives the NHL a leg up in that they may be the first to really give definitive information today. But to me, that's important.
Sure it is. I think it's going to benefit whoever is the first to jump out there with a definitive plan and try to show how they're going to restart things and get sports back on the landscape. And looks like the NHL is certainly making every effort possible to be that league.
And Watson, again, I don't know what he's going to put out there. We think we know, but whatever the case, I do think it's an advantage for them that they're the first to get some level of definitive info out there.
Yeah, they're the first of the team sports anyway. Golf's going to have its first tournament here very shortly, and NASCAR's already rolling. So it's the first of the team sports, and I don't know why in the world the others aren't moving in the same direction. I just can't figure it out why it's NBA's taking so long. To me, that one might even be easier than hockey. In baseball, we've already talked about. So, but I still think it's going to be, what, guys, July before we're seeing team sports competition?
That's what I think. Terry, I don't think there's anything in June. In a perfect world, baseball would be July the 3rd. I think the NHL would be later in the month. Same thing with the NBA. And by the way, the NBA has a big meeting on Friday to then maybe be able to do what the NHL is trying to do today.
Hey, George, I'd like to butt in here real quick. We got about 10 seconds there. I'm watching their countdown clock right now. So if you want to send it over to Gary Bettman in an official way, we can do it all proper.
You know what? Let's bring the commissioner in. Hope this is good info because that's what we want to be able to give you.
Good afternoon. I am delighted to be with you today to announce the National Hockey League's plans for our resumption of play, the format of the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs, and how we will conduct the 2020 NHL draft lottery. Before I get into the details, I want to make clear that the health and safety of our players, coaches, essential support staff, and our communities are paramount. While nothing is without risk, ensuring health and safety has been central to all of our planning so far and will remain so. Let me assure you that the reason we are doing this is because our fans are telling us in overwhelming numbers that they want us to complete the season, if at all possible. And our players and our teams are clear that they want to play and bring the season to its rightful conclusion. Although we are anxious to get back on the ice, we will not do anything until we are assured by medical professionals and the relevant government authorities that it is safe and prudent to do so. I want to thank Executive Director Don Fehr, Special Assistant to the Executive Director Matthew Schneider, and all members of the NHL Players Association, particularly players Ron Hainsey, Connor McDavid, Mark Scheifele, John Tavares, and James Van Riemsdyk, who were part of our joint return to play committee. It took a great deal of collaborative effort to get where we are today, and their insight, input, wisdom, and passion for our game and its traditions were essential to the process that produced the plan I'll now outline. I also want to thank Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly and league staff and medical personnel who worked tirelessly to craft this plan, and the members of the NHL Board of Governors who once again put aside personal preferences to approve a plan that we believe is fair to all of the teams and our best option under the circumstances. It will enable the best playoffs in all the sports to honor our history and produce a champion worthy of claiming the most treasured trophy in all of sports. Now to our return to play plan. When the given go-ahead from the medical experts and the relevant government authorities is given, 24 of our 31 teams will resume play, the top 12 in each conference as ranked by percentage points from our standings as they stood through the games of March 11th when we paused our season as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. The remaining seven teams will enter the draft lottery, which I will discuss in detail later. For purposes of nomenclature, record keeping and NHL awards, the 2019-20 regular season has been deemed to be completed. We will resume play and conduct the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs in two hub cities that will be identified and announced at a later date. One will be the site for the resuming Eastern Conference clubs. The other will play host to the resuming Western Conference clubs. Each will have secure arenas, practice facilities, hotels, and local transportation for our players, coaches, and essential staff. We expect that our clubs will be permitted to travel a maximum of 50 personnel to their hub city. A very limited number of support staff will be able to access the event level at each venue. comprehensive system of testing will be in place in each hub city. We are currently in phase one of our pause, during which clubs have been instructed to self-isolate as much as possible and have done so. In early June, we expect to be able to enter phase two, during which clubs can return to their individual practice facilities for voluntary small group on and off ice training. Yesterday, we released a comprehensive protocol that will govern how we will operate in phase two. Phase three of our return to play plan will be the opening of formal training camps. The timing of our entry into phase three again will be determined by guidance from medical and civil authorities. While we are anxious to open camps as soon as possible, we don't envision doing so before the first half of July. Finally, when appropriate, we will move to phase four, in which our participating clubs will report to their respective hub cities and we will resume play. Obviously, we anticipate playing over the summer and into the early fall. At this time, we are not fixing dates because the schedule of our return to play will be determined both by developing circumstances and the needs of our players. For various reasons, we are also not announcing at this time which two cities will serve as our hubs. Things are evolving rapidly, and when we decide on locations, we want it to be on the best available information at the time that we need to make that determination. In the meantime, I can say we have narrowed the choices to a number of cities that as of today include Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver. There are no shortage of candidates that can help us do this. Again, the final determination will depend on COVID-19 conditions, testing availability, and government regulations. The top four teams in each conference will claim automatic berths in the first round of the playoffs. They will play intra-conference round robins, each playing the other three teams to determine their respective seeds in the first round. These games will be played with regular season overtime and shootout rules, with ties in the final standings broken by regular season points percentage. The remaining eight teams in each conference will play in best of five qualifying round series to determine which four in each conference advance to the first round of the playoffs. The matchups for these series, again, are based on points percentage at the time of the pause. These games will be played with playoff overtime rules. Once the round robins and qualifying rounds are completed, we will conduct conference-based playoffs in each hub city. The winners of the qualifying round robins will advance to the first round with each opposing one of the round robin teams. Since we have endeavored to be sensitive to players' preferences, the matchups for the first round series remain to be set as the return to play committee is still discussing whether to determine them through seeding or via a bracket. In addition, the return to play committee is still discussing the lengths of the first and second round series and whether the second round matchups will be determined through seeding or via bracket. In any scenario, the conference finals and Stanley Cup final will be best of seven. The sites of the conference finals and Stanley Cup final remain to be determined, although based on what we know today, we expect those series to be played in one of the two hub cities. We believe we can get the qualifying and first two rounds of the playoffs completed in little over a month. Here are the 12 teams that will be resuming play in the Eastern Conference and assigned to Hub City 1.
And as you can tell,
are the 12 clubs that will be resuming play in the Western Conference and assigned to Hub City 2.
The Preds would be one of those. We think a six seed.
In the Eastern Conference, the top four teams by points percentage at the time of the pause, who will play round-robin games to determine their playoff seeding, are the Boston Bruins, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Washington Capitals, and the Philadelphia Flyers. The qualifying round series matchups in the Eastern Conference are as follows. Number 5 Pittsburgh Penguins versus number 12 Montreal Canadiens. Number 6 Carolina Hurricanes versus number 11 New York Rangers. Number 7 New York Islanders versus number 10 Florida Panthers. And number 8 Toronto Maple Leafs versus number 9 Columbus Blue Jackets. In the Western Conference, the top 4 teams by points percentage at the time of the pause who will play round-robin games to determine their playoff seeding are the St. Louis Blues, the Colorado Avalanche, the Vegas Golden Knights, and the Dallas Stars. The qualifying round series matchups in the Western Conference are as follows. Number 5 Edmonton Oilers versus number 12 Chicago Blackhawks. Number 6 Nashville Predators versus number 11 Arizona Coyotes. Number 7 Vancouver Canucks versus number 10 Minnesota Wild. And number 8 Calgary Flames versus number 9 Winnipeg Jets. Now to the 2020 NHL Draft Lottery. This is a bit complicated, as if what I've already told you hasn't been, and I apologize for that. The draft lottery will determine which clubs make the first 3 selections in the 2020 NHL draft, and it will be conducted in 1 or 2 phases, depending upon the results of the various draws. The 7 clubs that did not resume play and the 8 qualifying round clubs that do not advance into the playoffs will enter the draft lottery. At the time of the first phase draws, we won't know which 8 teams won't advance from the qualifying round. So we have designated temporary placeholders with the odds that the collective group would have had. Phase 1 draws will be conducted on June 26th, prior to the round robins and qualifying round. There will be 3 separate draws to determine which clubs possess the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd overall selections in the 2020 NHL draft. Each will include the 7 non-resuming clubs and 8 placeholder teams that have not yet won a draw. If any draw is won by one of the 7 non-resuming teams, that club or the club to which that first round pick was traded gets that selection.
Zach, let's go ahead and bring us back. What you've been hearing is Gary Bettman's press conference to announce the plans for what the NHL is going to try to do. Watson Brown, Terry McCormick joining me. Guys, it looks like what they're trying to do is somewhere in the neighborhood of a July 15th training camp, with August and September being playoff months. Watson, is that sort of what you got out of that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I got, because it's 4 phases, and that takes time to get through all of that. So, honestly, I don't believe they will be the first to start. If baseball will get off its panties, they could be going by the 1st of July. I'm talking about playing games, not just reporting to camp.
Sure.
So it'll be interesting to see how long it takes the NBA. It's taken the NHL a little longer to prepare, George, than I thought it would. But, gosh, I mean, they've been off now 2 months. And they have the hardest job of all sports, because everything they do is on ice. And so you can't work out and do some of the things a football player or a basketball player, baseball player can do. And so I do think it is harder on them.
Terry, I do think the NHL is going to get some big benefit from the fact that they are the first to put out any real info.
Yeah, I think so. I think that right now, in all the uncertainty, and I realize that no league can say really right now with certainty on what they're going to do, because they don't know what the government regulations are going to be or when those are going to be lifted and that sort of thing. But I think, as best as he could, Commissioner Bettman kind of put it out there what the NHL plan is, and that's the model that they're going to go off of, and we'll see, you know, how close they get to making that a reality.
So I think I heard this correctly. I tried to take some notes. Looks like they're going to have two different hubs, Vegas appearing to be a codlock cinch to be one of those, now that the NBA appears to be totally focused on Orlando and the Disney complex. But he listed a bunch of different cities. I didn't get them all, but I think I heard Columbus, Chicago, Dallas, Vegas, Vancouver, Toronto. Terry, did you hear any others I've met? Vancouver was one.
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh, I think, was one. I did not hear Nashville, which kind of surprised me. You know, and if I'm the NHL, I would think that I would want to, you know, in looking for a location, probably try to find the place where the regulations and the restrictions are a little more lax, maybe, you know, in Florida or something like that, rather than going to some of these places where the states have yet to do much in the way of opening up.
The full list was Chicago, Illinois, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver.
Yeah, see, I would not go to L.A. because there's no telling when they're going to open up.
Yeah, that's a surprise to have heard that one. So, guys, let me go with this for a second. So we think we know that it's the Preds and Arizona, if and when this happens, in a best-of-five playoff series. Watson, I like that matchup. That is absolutely one the Predators could win.
Well, I don't know that there isn't anybody, including the Blues, the Preds can't beat. Just if we just get going right, maybe we'll start back the way we finished, and it's all we can hope for. But our team is good enough to walk back in fresh like everybody else now and be one of the teams that could win this thing, much less where they're seated. I don't think Vegas is a bad thought either. I mean, as in the second round, I think that's who we would catch if we beat Arizona, is the way I understood it.
Okay, I'm gonna play dumb here.
No, wait a minute, in Vegas.
Yeah, because I don't think they know at this point.
Third seed. Who's the third seed?
Well, that's just it. We don't know yet because the top four.
No, they already were seeded, right?
Well, I thought Bettman said that the top four would do some sort of round robin to determine who would be one, okay, who would be two, who would be three, who would be four. Did I not hear that?
They all play each other. I didn't know that they would redo the whole 1 through 4 from that place. So I missed that part, if that's the case. I knew they were going to have a round robin, and those teams were going to play each other while these others were playing to get in essence. Is that
Terry,
where you all took it?
Yeah, Terry, help me with this. If you,
play?
Yeah, if you heard something different, or Zach, if you did, speak up, because I'm doing this totally based on what I heard.
It was top four seeds, but they never said what was the 1 through 4 seed. They just said top four, and then you had your qualifying round, like play-in series, with a best of five, by the way, through the 5 through 12s, which is that's a lot of games for the playoffs.
Yeah, the top four is they're going to advance automatically into the playoffs, and the others are going to have to fight their way there, so to speak. And you know, to me, the smartest thing that they've done in all this, because I've heard the NBA have some talk about resuming the regular season, I think ending the regular season and going straight to the playoffs is the way to do it, because you've got so many teams that would be just completely disinterested. Those seven that are eliminated already would be so completely disinterested that it makes no sense to resume a 10 or 12 game regular season.
And I'm seeing here it says top four seeds will play in each conference for seeding. So, yeah, they'll have to go off against each other to figure out who's 1 through 4.
Well, you know what? I think it was worth carrying what we carried. And, Zach, I really appreciate your work in making sure that we would get that on. Boy, our timing, we got right to it. And I also want to thank Jack Gentry, who sort of gave me the heads up late this morning that all of this was happening. Let's wrap up the show. We'll go to our final break at 3:52 and then wrap this baby up when we come back.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Martin Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
The good folks at Sir Speedy of Music City are back on our show. James Warren, talk to me.
Hey, George, as we see businesses prepare to reopen, we're seeing them focus on employees and guest protection just as much as on making a profit and being back to normal. That's typical of this caring city and all of Tennessee. So we decided to use the materials that we use for signs to make acrylic shields, barriers, face guards, and floor graphics for safe distancing. Even throwing in some fun by putting logos on face masks and that kind of thing. That said, we're doing this for nationwide hotels, restaurants, as well as local businesses with two employees. Everyone is treated the same. We come measure, listen. We want to be good to our community and our customers, so we're pledging 5% of the profits of all PPE orders in May and June to local food banks. You can trust the Sir Speedy Music City team for all your reopening needs.
That's absolutely true. You dial them up at 615-832-9511 or go on their website, SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
It is an uncertain time for us all, but kids in foster care have always known an uncertain future. Now, more than ever, we see what it means to truly connect with others in a way we didn't fully appreciate through the simple little things we do. It's those little things that also make a big difference to a kid in foster care, to help them become all they were meant to be. During a time when taking care of each other is by far most important, Youth Villages Foster Care asks that you consider opening your home to these young people who are without one. To keep us all safe and healthy during this time, Youth Villages is offering virtual presentations with information to address your thoughts and questions about fostering a child. Learn how you can become a foster parent at youthvillages.org/foster. Youth Villages, foster a little hope. Brought to you by Youth Villages in cooperation with this station and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
The good folks at Sir Speedy of Music City are back on our show. James Warren, talk to me.
Hey, George, as we see businesses prepare to reopen, we're seeing them focus on employees and guest protection just as much as on making a profit and being back to normal. That's typical of this caring city and all of Tennessee. So we decided to use the materials that we use for signs to make acrylic shields, barriers, face guards, and floor graphics for safe distancing. Even throwing in some fun by putting logos on face masks and that kind of thing. That said, we're doing this for nationwide hotels, restaurants, as well as local businesses with two employees. Everyone is treated the same. We come measure, listen. We want to be good to our community and our customers, so we're pledging 5% of the profits of all PPE orders in May and June to local food banks. You can trust the Sir Speedy Music City team for all your reopening needs.
That's absolutely true. You dial them up at 615-832-9511 or go on their website, SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
.357 is the time. I know we have just a small amount of time. If you've been with us since 3:30, you would have heard Gary Bettman's press briefing to announce what we have thought, which is 24-team playoff in the NHL with training camp looking like it would start in mid-July, which I believe would mean August 1, August 5th, playoffs would start. And in the Predators' case, it would be a best-of-five series against the Arizona Coyotes. And, Watson, I, for one, am thrilled we're talking sports.
Yeah, isn't that neat?
What a change.
What a change. We're going to have a good summer, though, guys.
You know what?
Good summer. Good summer.
That may well be the case. Terry, I'm fired up.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason for optimism, finally.
You know, I don't know how we close this up, but, Zach, you know what? We might ought to hear a little glorious. We've got happy news for a change. Either that or we'll just save it till tomorrow. Who knows? Anyway, thanks to these guys, Watson Brown, Terry McCormick, for their work today. Zach, thank you for all your help. Jack Gentry, if you're out there listening, thanks for yours as well, because we pulled it off. We wanted to carry the press conference, and we were able to get that done flawlessly, and I'm very appreciative of all the help behind the scenes. Johnny Ballpark Franks is in the on-deck circle, and he is coming up next.